You're listening to the Bible teachings of Reality Church Stockton. For more info, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.
Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
My name is David LaPerry. I'm one of the pastors here at Reality, and I have the awesome pleasure of talking with you guys for the next few minutes about the Word of God. Pastor Christian opened this series in the book of Jonah last week, mainly focusing on verses 1 and 2, and sort of this idea that we're all searching for meaning, and that we're all trying to ask this answer this question, why do we exist? And the scriptures answer this question vividly as you read the Bible, as you come to understand that you have been created and that the Creator speaks. I like the way that the New City Catechism puts it in its first question, what is our only hope in life and death? That's a really fancy way of saying, what is the meaning of life? And the answer is that we are not our own, but belong, body and soul, both in life and death, to God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If we are not our own, but belong to God, then the meaning of life and the answer to the question, why do we exist, is found in Him and must come from Him. Even the question, what am I supposed to do, comes from God as well. Because Christianity is based around this person of the living God who is still speaking. Pastor Christian gave us 5 points of hearing God speak last week, and I want to just repeat them before we move on this morning. That God speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through Jesus. God speaks to us in prayer by His Spirit. God speaks through the preaching of His Word. God speaks through community. So often, we find ourselves frustrated with the silence of God and forget the wealth of grace that God has provided in these 5 things and more. This morning, we're faced with a sort of dilemma in the passage in Jonah. The question we are faced with in Jonah is not whether or not God speaks. We sort of settled that last week. But whether or not we are listening. The question we are faced with in Jonah this morning is not whether or not God speaks, but whether or not we are listening. At the beginning of this story, Jonah has a meeting with God. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah." Now for Jonah, this wasn't a new thing. He was a prophet that had been given instruction by God before. 2 Kings 14 tells us that Jonah was a prophet in the land of Israel. He had experienced fellowship with God. He was familiar with the voice of God coming to him. And in this instant, God commands Jonah to arise and go to Nineveh and call out against it. And God even goes as far as to tell Jonah why He is commanding him to do this, and it is because their evil had come up before him. It sounds pretty straightforward. It's like God says to Jonah, "Jonah, you know me and my character. We have a relationship. You are my prophet with experience communicating on my behalf. Nineveh is evil. So go to Nineveh and tell them to repent and turn from their wicked ways. What Jonah was asked to do by God sounds straightforward. But in reality, this call was nothing but straightforward for Jonah. For Jonah, the call to go to Nineveh was unexpected. It was offensive, and it was difficult. First, it was unexpected. As a prophet, yes, Jonah was used to hearing from God, used to being given words to speak to people, but not necessarily just any people. The prophets in the Old Testament were given words to speak to the people and kings of Israel, not necessarily the surrounding nations. It was the prophet's job to preach the words of God, to effect change and course correction for the people of Israel and their leaders, to come into a vulnerable time in the history of Israel and call the people to repentance and a spiritual renewal. Though many prophets were rejected in their time, their words live on in Scripture, just like we are reading now. They have become, and they were, sort of these cultural icons in Israel's history. But in this instance, God comes to his prophet and asks him to leave Israel, to travel to a foreign land, to leave the covenant people of God, the ones that God had promised so much to, and call outsiders to repentance. This call from God must have come out of left field for Jonah. This isn't normal. In many ways, this wasn't what he signed up for. This wasn't the way it was supposed to be. The prophets were for Israel's benefit, not some foreign nation with no knowledge of God. This call from God to Jonah was unexpected. Second, this call was offensive. To be sent to the Assyrians in Nineveh was offensive. It was a call to go across enemy lines. It was a call to go into enemy territory. To Jonah, it would seem that God was prioritizing the spiritual health of Nineveh over that of his own people. That the enemy was valued above the people of God. The Ninevites were not just a bunch of fun-loving pagans. They were a murderous people, known for their brutality. As Israel's neighbors, no doubt, Jonah knew of their reputation. Perhaps he had even experienced their brutality firsthand. And now God wanted to use him to be the instrument of their salvation. Jonah would have been so offended. What about our problems, God? What about our needs? You want to send me to the enemy? I mean, this is like being called in 1940s to travel to Berlin and preach salvation to the Nazi regime. That's an offensive call. In that environment, in that culture, the hope was the destruction of the Nazis, not their salvation. Could you imagine the personal blowback of a call like this? Could you imagine what people would say? The accusations that would fly. Jonah is going to the Ninevites. He's conspiring with the enemy. He cares more about the enemy than he does for his own people. The call is to go to his enemy and seek their benefit. Who wants to do that? Who is going to sign up for that mission? Who is going to stand and say, yeah, send me. I want my friends to think I'm a traitor. I want my church to think that I'm a sinner. I want my life to be in danger. I want my career to be over. Sign me up. Who says that? This was an offensive, unexpected call. Third, it was a difficult call. It goes against Jonah's sensibilities, his culture, his professional development plan, his prejudices, his desires. It's also a target that's not easily won. John Calvin describes it this way. What then could he hope, speaking of Jonah, when the Lord removed him to Nineveh? For unbridled licentiousness ruled there. There was also there extreme blindness. They had no knowledge of divine worship. In a word, they were sunk in extreme darkness, and the devil in every way reigned there. From the outset, there would seem to be no hope for success. Jonah is being called to go into the darkest of places, a place of the enemy, not just physically, but spiritually. A call to a place, and to call this place to repentance and offer a hope of salvation. Jonah would be risking personal safety. Because I don't know about you, but enemies don't particularly like to hear that God's coming to destroy them. They may not take too kindly to that declaration. This is a difficult call with almost zero hope of success. I wonder, when we hear the call of God described this way, how many of us this resonates with? How many of us have found the call of God on our lives to be unexpected or offensive or difficult at times? When we search the scriptures, we see that God often says things or asks his people to do things that are hard. At times, Jesus' life and teaching is counterintuitive to every bit of human logic inside of us. At times, situations in our lives seem daunting, and yet the call is to stand in the word of God. At times, with difficult situations, with people in our families or in our communities, the call of God is to extend grace and forgiveness, when that is literally the last thing that we want to do. At times, in our schoolwork or in our jobs, we are tempted to cut corners, to bend the truth, to compromise. But the call of God is to stand firm and to stand for what is right. As we read scripture, as well as in which we experience life and the outworking of scripture in our life, the call of God can be hard. It can be exhausting. It can be untimely. It can be the last thing that we want to do. As we look at the call of God on Jonah's life, some of us may be saying, well, I'm really glad that I'm not him. I'm really glad that God hasn't called me to this. But Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 6, this: love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, and bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. Are we prepared as individuals and as a community to answer this call of Jesus on our lives? To love our enemies, to actively seek good for those that hate us, and bless those that curse us, and even to pray for those that abuse us. Are we prepared for that? Because this call from Jesus isn't optional. Jesus doesn't say, well, it would be great if you could find some time. The call of the Christian is to look at our enemies and treat them with love. That is real stuff. That's hard. That's hard. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Are we prepared as individuals and as a community to answer this call of Jesus on our lives? To deny ourselves, to take up our crosses, to lose our lives in Jesus. Are we prepared for that? Jesus says this is required for us to come after him. The call of the Christian is to look at Jesus and deny our desires and our wills, to lose our lives, meaning letting everything go for the sake of following him. That is real. And that's hard. And these are only two of the things that Jesus says, not to mention all of the crazy stuff that Paul says or that we find in the Old Testament. But how often do we consider these things together? How often do we encourage one another in these things? How often do we spur each other on in obedience to these things? These things seem to us at times to be literally the absence of meaning, to lose our lives. I mean, it doesn't make sense. We must remember that answering the call of God gives us the most meaning. As counterintuitive as they may seem, these words give life when we pursue them in Christ. But it's okay to say they're hard. It's okay to not be okay with these things this morning. It's okay to come in here and say, I'm not following the word of the Lord. And I would encourage you in this, that the God who speaks is the God who pursues, and he is pursuing you. That if these things are difficult, if you find yourself in a difficult place this morning, in a place where you would say, I am not okay, that the God who speaks is the God who pursues, and he is pursuing you this morning. Perhaps with that description, you may be growing in sympathy for Jonah. It's in this moment where God speaks to Jonah that he has an opportunity to respond. He has the opportunity to obey, to follow the word of the Lord, as hard as it is, or disobey and sin. And we read his response in verse 3. Verse 3 says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah hears this word from the Lord and says, no. Jonah got the first part right. He rose, but not to go to Nineveh, but to flee from the presence of the Lord. Jonah packs his things and says, I'm out. He's so offended and disturbed by this call of God on his life that he runs, not just spiritually, but physically. So where is he going? Jonah is fleeing from the presence of the Lord to Tarshish. Rather than going northeast from his home in northern Israel to Nineveh, Jonah heads southwest to the port city of Joppa to catch a boat to Tarshish. He literally begins by going the exact opposite direction of the call of God. So where is Tarshish, this end destination? This is a debated question. Some think that it's on the coast of Cilicia, which would be the southern coast of modern-day Turkey. Some think that it is in Sardinia, which is one of the bigger islands on the western coast of Italy. Or some think it is as far as Spain. Whatever option you choose, or whatever sort of theory you subscribe to, Jonah's aim is to get west, away from his call to the east. Jonah is exemplifying disobedience in the most visceral way. He doesn't argue. He doesn't plead his case. He hears the word of the Lord, and he runs in the opposite direction. Jonah running from God is a descent into sinful disobedience. If Scripture says that the essence of meaning is to be with God and to hear from God, fleeing from the presence of the Lord is the epitome of sin, as the essence of sin is the attempt to escape from God. If the essence of righteousness, or being right with God, is to be with God, the essence of sin is the attempt to escape from God. In this passage, it outlines the disobedience of Jonah in three steps. He went down to Joppa, went down into the ship to go to Tarshish. This progression reminded me of what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 1:1. He says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. There's sort of this threefold progression of sin. Sin has a way of luring us away from God. As we just sort of walk, and then we, stand, and then we sit. Sometimes this drift can be very gradual. Other times this progression goes much quicker, as in the case of Jonah, right? He really goes from like walking to standing to sitting very quickly. With the right triggers and the right circumstances, we go from walking to standing to sitting. We go from discovering to dabbling to delighting. But make no mistake, to deny the word of the Lord is sin. To run from the word of the Lord is sin. As James 4:17 says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. And certainly in this situation, Jonah knew what was right. Jonah knew what God had called him to do. Jonah knew that the call was to go to Nineveh and to call out against it. Yet he chose to run. The psalmist says that the blessed man does not do these things. But what does the blessed man do? In the second half of that verse, it says this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. The blessed man delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The word law in scripture is synonymous with the word of the Lord. Anything that comes out of the mouth of God, the word of the Lord is not meant to just be heard, but it's meant to be our delight and our meditation. The word of the Lord is not meant to just be heard, it's meant to be heeded and obeyed. Psalm 119:105 describes the word of the Lord as a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word gives direction and lights the way of our lives. What use is a light if we just look at it? What use is a light if it's just stationary? It may make us feel nice. It may make us feel comfortable. We're not going to get anywhere. A light is meant to be used. It's meant to illuminate what's ahead and give us confidence to move forward in what path has been laid before us by God. As a prophet, I would say that Jonah knew all this stuff. He knew he was running into disobedience. Why did Jonah flee? Was it because the call was too hard? Did he think God could not accomplish his will? Is this why Jonah runs? We're told in verse 3, we're not told in verse 3 why he ran, just that he did so. But toward the end of the book, after the Ninevites repent and God shows them mercy, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, Jonah himself tells us. It says this in Jonah 4, 2. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Jonah did not run for fear of failure. Jonah ran for fear of success. Jonah was well acquainted with God. Jonah knew that God was gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. But Jonah despised the Ninevites and wished for their destruction. And certainly did not want to be used for their salvation. Jonah despised the call to go to his enemy and hope for their good. Jonah placed extreme limits on the grace of God. A grace that he very well knew that he could not contain. But this is the nature of sin. Sin causes us to act foolishly. Did Jonah actually think he could escape from God? Perhaps he did. One thing is clear. He knew the character of God. Perhaps Jonah knew God would accomplish his will with or without him, and he preferred without him. Perhaps Jonah thought time would change God's mind. If I can just delay, if I can just eat a little bit of time, God will have to destroy them, or at least find someone else to go. And certainly, God could have found someone else to go. Remember, God is the creator. He promises the ability to make the rocks cry out his praise. He uses a donkey to speak. Other options were available to God. But God chose Jonah. Perhaps Jonah was under the delusion that he chose God, and at any time, he could opt out. But this is not the case. God chose Jonah. Perhaps God chose Jonah because he was a racist. Perhaps God chose Jonah to show that nothing, not even our own prejudices, can stand in the way of what God desires to accomplish. Make no mistake, Jonah fleeing from God was outright disobedience, but it revealed an underlying sin in Jonah: racism. Jonah looked down on the Ninevites. Jonah saw them as inferior people, people not deserving of God's grace. He had bought into the lie that Israel was special because they had God. What he didn't realize is that they were special because God had them. And God's extensive reach into the people of Nineveh was going to be a giant show of his powerfully gracious hand. It was going to be a sign of his desire to fulfill his promise that the nations would be blessed through Israel. Jonah forgot the all-important truth that we are all made in the image of God, and that none of us are deserving of his mercy and grace, but he is a good God that extends mercy and grace. And his invitation to Jonah, as well as his invitation to us, is to be agents of his mercy and grace, not only to the people that look like us, but to the people that don't look like us, and even to our enemies, especially to our enemies. Though Jonah refuses to go to the enemy, though Jonah steps out in sin, as we will see through this story, and as is the title of this sermon series, God pursues. Jonah's disobedience does not prevent God from pursuing him or accomplishing what he desires to accomplish in Nineveh. Journeying into enemy territory is not something unknown to God. For in Christ, God came down in human form into enemy territory. Where Jonah said no, Jesus said yes. Where Jonah hated his enemy, Jesus loves his enemy. Jesus was despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. For not in spite of the enemy, but for the enemy, Jesus came to die. Listen to that. Not in spite of the enemy, but for the enemy, Jesus came to die. Jesus was obedient, even to death on the cross. Romans 5 tells us, but God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be reconciled to God by the death of his son. Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? We were once like the Ninevites, in utter darkness, enemies of God. But Jesus was sent and perfectly obeyed. In our darkness, the light of Christ was shown. Jesus has delivered us and saved us from the wrath of God by his own blood. And it is our confidence in Jesus's perfect obedience that we receive the Holy Spirit and are given the strength and power to obey. He has gone before. And as the word of God himself, Jesus lights the way of the path of obedience. This morning, perhaps you are on the run. Like Jonah, you've become offended at something God has said or has called you to. The message of the book of Jonah and the whole of Scripture is return. I'd like to read a passage from the Psalms to you, from Psalm 139. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. No matter how far you have run, no matter how dark your surroundings may seem, God is there. And his call to you is return home. This morning, perhaps you're here and you're not a Christian. God is a loving father who calls those that are his to come home. He is speaking to you right now and desiring to give you meaning and purpose. He is desiring to give you himself. Don't run. Come to him. This morning, the call of this passage is to not run, but to heed the word of the Lord. Sermons on obedience are not necessarily the easiest sermons to give or hear. So thanks for making it this far. The theme of not just hearing, but doing the word of the Lord is one that runs through the whole of Scripture. But I want to make something clear before we close, that we are not saved by our obedience, but for obedience. Ephesians 2 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If you are a Christian this morning, you have been saved through faith. It is a gift. It's not of works. And the call this side of salvation is to walk in obedience, not to keep your salvation, but to glorify God with your life, which is what we said in the beginning was the meaning of life itself. Because God has created you, and in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works that he has planned for you because he loves you. God's mission is moving forward. And part of being his kid is getting to be used by him. We experience the meaning of life when we hear the word of the Lord and set about doing it. Like Jonah, God through his word, his community, and his spirit can lead us, can lead you, can lead me into unexpected, offensive, and difficult situations. But as we heard last week, I'll say it again. Jesus has promised to go before us and with us. He is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, even to the end of the age. And that makes all the difference. Pray with me.
Thanks for listening to the Reality Church Stockton podcast. If you've been blessed by this ministry, please consider giving financially. For more info on how to give, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.